This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we got a stacked weekend. We got three Astros games. We got the Cougs tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Local coverage of April Madness presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Taking on that team from Waco. Got Gonzaga versus UCLA. Exciting weekend. And in between it all, would it really surprise you if while you're sitting back on your couch,
It happens.
The local watering hole, wherever you decide to enjoy this greatness of local sports, there can be a Tony Busby bomb. There could be rumblings about a Deshaun Watson trade. It can happen anytime. That's the world that we're living in right now, where no matter what's happening, no matter how excited our Bear fans are, our Cougs fans are, no matter how excited you get about watching the Stros, the Whoopie at night, we are still in the middle of one of the most unprecedented standoffs in the history of the NFL. And that was before you brought in two of the most polarizing attorneys ever and two of the most successful attorneys and a legal battle into the mix. It was unprecedented before, and it was also even more unprecedented when what has happened the last few weeks with Deshaun Watson and his accusers has happened. So not only do you have all this stuff going on, in between all of it, you have this standoff still going where anything can happen any minute, no matter what you're doing, where you are, what's going on. Hell, you could be at Easter service on Sunday.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I'm telling you.
Tony Busby has released a statement.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Well, Tony Busby's going to release another statement.
Is he going to do it on Easter at noon?
Well, he might do it today. He might do it in the next half hour.
What if he does it on Easter at noon?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't think he cares. But as much as like when all this Deshaun Watson and all the sexual misconduct stuff came out, it was silly. It was dumb to think that the Texans had anything to do with it. There was this whole conspiracy theory out there about planting it. That's just wrong, right? That's just dumb. But I will say this. Now that it's out there and it's growing and all we're talking about, the whole entire city is talking about this, I think if they were being really honest, a lot of people in that building, particularly at the high levels, I'm not going to say glad, but maybe relieved that some of the heat is off of them.
Really?
Yes, because you touched on it, and that's what kind of triggered that thought for me. Unprecedented. Totally unprecedented. It's almost like we forgot. You got your 25-year-old franchise quarterback that you've waited your whole life for, right? And you ruined it. You screwed it up. And now he wants out. Forget all the before all this other stuff even happened. It was
there hasn't been a lot of Texans hate like there
right.
was before this came out.
Right.
I am with you on that.
Right. I think they're not glad. Nobody could be glad that some, you know, either the victims allegedly or Deshaun is going through this. I'm just saying, I think if you give them the truth serum, they're a little relieved that the heat is off of them. It's more on Deshaun than it is on just how the Texans screwed the pooch on them.
No, I think it's got to matter, though. And I think at the end of the day, the most important thing with this standoff was getting max value for Deshaun Watson. That was what was most important, but they're definitely not getting criticized enough. So if you're talking about the beneficiaries of this, I guess from a PR standpoint, although I don't know how much better they do look with this Watson thing, but I think from a standpoint of getting criticized as the the joke of sports and people laughing at us and laughing at the Texans and laughing at Houston and everything going on, it has kind of died down.
Yeah.
But they still got to get max value for Deshaun Watson.
The Texans have been a laughing stock, all due respect, a laughing stock in the NFL for how they got here. And we've talked about, you know, the 2-year anniversary of Jack Easterby's hire, and it's all happened in those 2 years that he's been here. And now nobody's really talking about that. Like how bad the Texans were, you know, ruined this good thing that was right in their laps. They're talking about Deshaun Watson and the allegations and the settlements and the back and forth with Busby and Rusty Harden. I'm not saying it's right. All I'm saying is I bet you they're relieved to a certain degree.
They still got to. The standoff did not go away, though. They still got to figure that
out.
No,
that's my point. Yeah, it's still there. They're not any better off. They shouldn't look any better, but it's just the heat is off.
And I just wonder if Deshaun Watson does kind of regret the way that this was handled, where there wasn't communication between the Texans and he, and, you know, the camp was a little bit loose. There were call-outs and all that. I do wonder if that is harmful to this whole process. I don't know. I really don't know how that works. Nick Caserio was asked if he talked to Deshaun Watson, and he pretty much said,
but it could have been interpreted. He goes, yeah, but I don't know if he was like, yeah, we don't, you know, like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that, or yeah, I have. So it's hard to say.
Yeah, I would, it would be, and I thought it was kind of strange from the Watson camp or from Deshaun himself. I'm assuming it was more Watson camp because I really don't think Deshaun Watson's that malicious when it comes to how his energy towards the Houston Texans. I think that was more camp motivated. But I thought it would have been weird form for Deshaun Watson to have not least talked to Nick Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a weird strategy.
He may have.
To begin with. We know that he talked to David Coley.
Yeah.
Just don't know whether or not he's talked to Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And I also do wonder, because you and I, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, we do assume that, well, I don't want to say assume, but we believe it's possible that a settlement does get reached sooner rather than later. I do wonder what the first statements of Deshaun Watson are going to be like.
Yeah, it's going to be very awkward.
And that's definitely going to be whenever stuff does happen. But it'll be interesting to see if something does drop this weekend while we are enjoying an array of sports, including 3 Astros games and something that hasn't happened since the mid-'80s, the U of H Cougars in the Final Four against Baylor. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610, courtesy of Westwood One. And with that said, we welcome a Coug legend. John, I'll let you do the honors here. A member of Phi Slamma Jamma, an NBA vet, joins us right now. Take it away, OG.
Yeah, joining us now, a member of Phi Slamma Jamma, and obviously was an incredible star on that team, but some people might call you Justice's dad now. Ricky Winslow joins us. Ricky, man.
How you doing?
We are fantastic over here. I'm curious, you know, you've been so plugged in to the game, even after your career, because of coaching and your, you know, obviously Justice and others that with whom you've worked. How plugged in are you right now, you know, going back to your days? Does it rekindle those memories even more so to see what the Cougars are doing?
Oh, it's great right now. We had an amazing run back when I was a freshman at University of Houston with Olajuwon and Reed Geddes, Michael Young, Alvin Franklin, those starter guys, the starting five. Amazing run, and you know, that brotherhood goes on for a long time. And just looking at a great job that Coach Sampson has done with the University of Houston, getting them back into the Final Four is just amazing, especially now for the city of Houston.
Correct. And, you know, during those runs, and I was around, as you were, to be around that team, we thought that U of H basketball was going to be one of the cream of the crop programs for, you know, from then on. And then it just dropped off. I mean, how much more difficult do you think the job has been for Kelvin Sampson to rekindle that thing?
I think it is very difficult. You know, you have to have a good staff up under you for recruiting, get it back on top, and then try to recruit different guys. And sometimes you have to go JUCO way to get some of those great JUCO players in and get your team back up to staff, able to play in the league, especially the conference too, because the conference is pretty tough too. And that's why I commend such a great job on the staff of University of Houston, assistant coaches as well, because a lot of times they're the one that's grinding, putting in the work. And like Coach Alvin Brooks, I think he did a tremendous job, and as well as the rest of the coaching staff. And Coach Sampson bringing a whole different culture back into the University of Houston. You know, back in our day, you saw the fast break transition, you know, pressing and all of that, and you saw those different activities with those special dunks at the end. But what caused those special dunks is that great defense. You know, a lot of times we didn't get no name because of our defense, because the dunks were so spectacular. So, but the defense is, I think, what kind of put us over the hump, especially with Olajuwon in the middle.
Well, you know the game so well. You know these players. You've been around this generation of players. How does U of H stack up with Baylor, which just seems to be incredibly talented?
Yeah, they're just all around. They just have a great, especially their guard play. And right now, I think the guard play is the play outside of Gonzaga that's really, you know, the play so well that put those teams in the final, especially Baylor. Baylor is like, their offense is incredible. So we have to play. I think we have to do a great job defensively, rebounding, and we have to be able to score as well because they have a great scoring offense. So if we can do that, and, you know, anything's possible, and I think we have a great chance because we're there. So, I mean, we didn't get there not playing defense and not getting into different guys and getting into them, because a lot of the grinding, they really grind on defense, and defense kind of can change the form of a game. So I'm really looking forward to it, because I think it's going to really be a good matchup, especially the two Texas teams too. So,
talking to the great Ricky Winslow here on Sports Radio 610, you know better than most just the sacrifice that it takes to get to the Final Four, to get to this point of the tournament. With everything that the kids have had to deal with, COVID, all that type of stuff, is it a little bit more, I guess, impressive, the teams that have been able to have the discipline that is already there in a normal year, but in this year is even more difficult than usual?
Yes, I think so. With COVID, I mean, we, you know, going through COVID, just with normal things that we do, just trying to get to the grocery store, get to work. I mean, that's a problem itself in the grocery store. And just going through the different things, game by games and fans and different things like that, I mean, that's like, so that's just a whole nother matter that comes with it. And I commend all the universities and all players, especially the ones that made it to the Final Four, because there's a lot of things behind the scene that they had to go through, keeping guys positive. And a lot of guys, especially younger guys, want to be around their families and different things like that. But you have to be really careful with COVID going around.
Ricky Winslow joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Man, we really appreciate your time. I know you're going to be pulling out that old Phi Slamma Jamma. Do you have any more of that Phi Slamma Jamma gear still?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, they just came out with some more stuff.
They did.
I think in the last year or so, man. It's really hot right now. But, hey, we're going to do this for the city and go Cougs all the way.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Ricky Winslow joining us here. Take care, man.
It's Ricky Winslow, the legend of Phi Slamma Jamma. Right here on Sports Radio 610. Cougs tomorrow, April Madness, trying to get to that big game on Monday. Local coverage brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Starting at about 4 o'clock. Going to be a fun weekend. Going to be a fun time. Coming up, the standoff battle. Carlos Correa's approach versus Deshaun Watson's approach. Which approach would you take? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Carlos Correa, Deshaun Watson. Two different approaches to their standoffs. Deshaun Watson's in a standoff with the Houston Texans. Really no communication with the organization. No words outside of some future lyrics from Deshaun Watson. Correa, on the other hand, much more transparent, much more honest. You really know the specific details of the conversations that have been had. This was Carlos Correa yesterday before the Astros 8-1 win. Just is it just taking us inside the negotiation?
What negotiation
room between him and the Houston Astros? Here is the Sparkle Prince.
We were not close at all. There were not really any negotiations. It's another year with the Houston Astros. I'm going to go out there, give it my best, and try to bring another championship to the city.
Can you characterize kind of the relationship you feel you have right now with the front office and whether that's something that can sustain when you get into free agency?
The relationship is great. You know, there's no hard feelings. Like I said, it's a business. And, you know, they made it very clear to me. They said, we don't believe in long contracts. We don't believe in big contracts. So, you know, when I say free agency, I'm going to look after a big, long contract. And, you know, they made it very clear they don't believe in that.
What do you think of the Lindor contract?
I love it. I love it. It's a great contract. Deserves every penny of it. I talked to him for like an hour last night and congratulated him. You know, he pushed the market for every shortstop coming after him. So it's always great to see a great player get reward like that.
Are you a little saddened that it worked out this way, at least so far?
You know, I will always love this city, and this will always be my second home. I love the fans here. I know they love me back. But if it's my last season, I'm going to try to finish it with a championship. So that's my main goal this year. Go out there and win another championship for this city.
Two awesome talents. Two phenomenal athletes. One just got paid. One is going to get paid. Whether it's by the Astros or not is to be determined. But two very different approaches. Deshaun Watson has the silent treatment, the future lyrics. Carlos Correa is peeling back the curtain and taking you inside the negotiations. Obviously, it's two different situations with these two guys. Deshaun Watson's trying to force his way out of town. And let's put the legal stuff aside for just a sec. Let's just go back to the original standoff.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa is in the final year of a contract. But when it comes to the approaches, which one do you think will be more effective? And which one do you think is the right approach? Are both of them taking the right approach in trying to get what they want?
I would tend to lean toward the last thing you said there. They're both going to get what they want. Deshaun Watson's going to get traded. Had it not been for this scandal that's now surrounding him, I don't think anybody would have really, I mean, obviously you want him here, but I don't think anybody would have really said, boy, he handled that wrong. You know, he's kind of stayed in the background, was very sort of, you know, coy with how he said things publicly via Instagram and stuff about wanting to be traded. And the Texans were the ones that looked bad, right? The thing about Carlos Correa that I love is he's one of those rare, you know, athletes, you know, sports stars that tells you exactly what he thinks all the time. Remember when the scandal broke in 2019? He was the one that kind of broke the seal on being honest. You know, he was it? Who was it? He was talking to that great interview that he did.
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah,
I think that was 20. I think that was 20, actually the start of 20.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're talking about,
Shut the bleep up.
He's one of the rare.
I mean, Cody.
Yeah, that guy. That's just completely honest. And I love that. It's so refreshing because a lot of times you ask a player or a coach or someone a question and they kind of talk around it or whatever. Carlos Correa will tell you exactly what he thinks. And I think he's telling you exactly what he thinks here. And I'm not mad at him. It's going to stink losing him because the Astros are going to lose him. I mean, he said it very clearly right there. They don't believe in long-term contracts. They go 5 or 6 years. I'm going to get me a 10-year contract. That tells you he's out.
But I think you can unless make them believe. You can make them believe.
Unless they shift their philosophy.
And you
make
can,
an exception.
Yeah, and I think you can make them believe for sure. Like if Carlos Correa goes out there and he's playing 150 games. Yesterday he told Brian McTaggart, the great Brian McTaggart, that he wanted to have 900 OPS, and he wanted to play over 150 games.
All right, I'm down with that.
He's had over 900 OPS.
One year with 153 or something like that.
Yeah, he's only played over 150 games once,
and
his OPS was close. I think it was 811, and he's only had over 900 OPS twice, and he missed significant time in both of those. Mm-hmm. So that would be if he does reach that goal, then maybe the philosophy changes for Jim Crane. We know one thing. Jim Crane will write the check.
Brantley's the best example.
Brantley's the best example, and that was something that was like a last-second thing where it appeared that, and I don't think anyone would have faulted Jim Crane for it, but it appeared that they were going to let George Springer and Brantley walk, and they swooped in and said, Michael, we don't want you to go.
Yeah.
We need you, which...
Look at last night.
We were talking about it before. That could be like a season shifting type of decision to have Michael Brantley right there in that two hole this year. What would we even be talking about if Brantley weren't here? Are we talking about putting Alvarez in left field? Like what are we saying?
Yeah. No, I agree. Correa, it's very, very possible because Jim Crane has a strong ego, man, and he does competitiveness more than ego. And he don't want to lose. By all accounts, and I've talked to some people who would know, I mean, Brantley was gone. He was gone. That report was accurate. They thought they had him, and then Crane just said, I can't let it happen. You know, his competitiveness came in. So I guess it's possible that he could overrule James Click, because Click is the one that's, you know, he's got that Tampa Bay mentality. No, nothing more than 5 or 6 years, can't pay that much, you know, money ball, blah, blah, blah. So he could absolutely overrule him, but I think as we sit here today, he's gone, and the Astros are just going to have to figure something else out.
See, I've always wondered about the Tampa Bay philosophy, and we always talk about money ball with the A's and stuff. And I just wonder, how much is that philosophy and how much is that adjustment to your surroundings? You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
it's a smaller market.
Yeah, because I doubt that if you go back to the A's, let's just go back to the money ball A's and all the guys that left. Like, do you think that if the A's owner had went up to Billy Bean, the GM, and said, hey, I'm willing to write this check for Jason Giambi. Let's keep him here. Let's match the Yankees' offer and let's keep him here. Do you think that Billy Bean would have said, nah, we got to play
that's
some
my,
money
Yeah,
ball.
That's what I'm saying. Jim Crane could say, hey, man, I like your philosophy. It served us well, but not this one. Not this dude. I want to pay him.
It's almost an interesting situation. And I don't think Jim Crane really cares, because I think Jim Crane has probably the thickest skin of any owner in town.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, I think he's the best owner in town. I don't even think that's close. I think he's one of the best owners in sports. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. But it is interesting, though, because if Jim Crane doesn't want to write the check, regardless of what they say the philosophy is, there is going to be a certain portion that are going to say, there's the Tampa Bay Rays. That's James Click. And it almost minimizes the blowback of Jim Crane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely it does.
But I also think it's a good baseball philosophy to a certain point.
What Click is doing. I mean, it's worked. I think it's a little
over-romanticized.
Yes, I really do. I think it works. I think it's a tool. I think, by and large, when you're filling out the roster and filling out your pitching staff, it makes a big difference. But, man, some guys you just got to pay and you got to ride out when they're older. Zach Greinke's the perfect example.
Is Correa that guy, though? I just don't feel like Correa is that guy.
I'm not saying Correa. He might be, but I'm not saying he is. You know, sometimes you just got to, like, you know what? Bring in Justin Verlander. You know what? Let's pay Zach Greinke.
And that's Crane's willing to do that.
And that's the difference. Like it has a place, it's a tool, but it's not your whole roster. It's not, you know, the be all.
The one thing I have no time for, especially before Correa has even left, is Jim Crane slander.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell people how to act. I won't tell people how to react. But any slander, any questioning of Jim Crane, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. I think letting Springer go for the deal he did, I actually think that was the right baseball decision.
I do too.
And I think the fact that you brought Michael Brantley back, I think that minimizes that blow significantly. But Jim Crane doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And it's in large part because he's not trying to get the credit for what's happened here.
He just sits back.
He just sits back. If he needs to write a check for Justin Verlander, he's going to write the check. Anyone could have made that trade that Jeff Luhnow made. He's willing to write the check for Zach Greinke. Anyone could have made that move. Now, Jeff Luhnow did a good job building the farm system, but when it comes to writing the check, Jim Crane's been willing to do that, and he's willing to let the guys do their job. That's the other great thing about Jim Crane. So let's not slander the best owner in sports. Go look at the other two teams' ownership if you want to get a grasp of questionable ownership. And that's with all due respect to Tillman Fertitta. I'm buying into the process, but there have been some questionable things that have gone on. And Cal McNair, I mean, that kind of speaks for itself with where the Texans are now compared to where they were 2 years ago. Speaking of which, 2 years ago today, Jack Easterby was introduced to to H-Town. We're going to hear the first time that we ever played the words of Jack Easterby on this show and how well it travels with time. Plus, Think Tank, 713-572-4610, Think Tank, against my better judgment, a Think Tank.
Isn't Start it your statement against your better judgment?
With I think that Think Tank and the first words of Easterby next.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sport.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
And I've heard a lot of rumors about the Houston Texans, and I've heard a lot of potential arrivals, potential Deshaun Watson replacements. But the weirdest one that I've ever heard is being thrown out there now. We'll hear that when we go around the NFL at one. Is this a late April Fool's joke or something? What the hell are we talking about? I'm going to be pissed off if that happens. You want to talk about pointless. That is beyond pointless.
John might be excited. That's his guy.
We'll see. 1 o'clock, around the NFL. We'll get into that. Think Tank, 713-572-4610. There's a lot of thoughts running around here. THOUGHTS, not THOTS. Thoughts. Got three Astros games coming up this weekend.
Oh, there goes one now.
Got some Final Four matchup, including three teams with Texas ties. Gonzaga's best player from Texas, the man with the handlebar, Mr. Tenney. And then U of H versus Baylor. 4 o'clock coverage, courtesy of Westwood One, right here on Sports Radio 610.
What do you think is going to go? How do you think that's going to play out?
I think Baylor's really going to win.
We haven't really talked nuts and bolts on
I think
that.
Baylor's going to win. I think Baylor's just too
Baylor's
good.
Better?
That's a great point, Landry.
Too talented.
They're really talented. Really, really talented. But the Cougs are not far behind.
And, oh, they're scrappy.
And they're much better coached.
It's only a five-point spread. So we'll see. The Zags, by the way, 14-point favorite.
Of course.
My man from Richardson holding it down with the handlebar.
That last game they played might have been just the apex, man. I haven't seen every one of their games, obviously, but from what I've seen in the tournament and here and there, whew, they are a machine.
All right, 713-572-4610 to get in. It is the Think Tank. Don't ask us how we're doing. Just start your statement with, I think that. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, I think that Baylor's guard, Davion Mitchell, is Lou Dort with a jumper.
Lou Dort with a jumper.
Goodness.
Ocho getting deep.
Hell of a reference. He'll get down on some references.
Oh, he's smart.
It's all about it. Mm-hmm. It's all about it. 2 years ago today, Jack Easterby was introduced to the city of Houston. We did some digging, and I remember we played this for the loopholes. Jack Easterby's five keys to being a champion. Now, since he's gotten here, the Texans have gotten further and further away from being champions.
Yeah.
Gone from having a 23-year-old quarterback, one of the best young receivers in the game, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and a lot of talent, to now rebuilding with limited assets. Here are Jack Easterby's five keys to being a champion, first heard here on In the Loop back in 2019.
I just want to give you five things, your high five, of what I think champions look like. And the first one starts with probably the most important. If you want to be a champion, if you want to be something great, something that other people haven't done before, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to have a why. This is the reason. This is your passion. This is your desire. Number two is to eliminate entitlement. We serve in a culture where many people step up to the mic and feel like they are owed. We walk into the locker room with our chest out, like we're owed something by our coach. Number three, okay. Give your all of the time.
Yes, sir.
You have to go hard all of the time.
Yes, sir.
Number four, and this is where it gets pretty good.
Yes, sir.
You have to do ordinary things.
Never heard that before.
Extraordinarily well.
There you go.
You want to separate yourself on your team, man? You do ordinary things like be on time and these other things that they've said tonight. You do them extraordinarily well, and you'll show up, and you will raise yourself above your teammates. Here's the last one, and I'm going to close with this. Finish what you start. We are in a society of partial dedication. When it goes hard, people quit. Usually people give in. But if you want to be great, friends, I'm talking about great. I'm talking about excellence. I'm talking about the highest level that your potential can take you to. You've got to finish what you start.
There you go.
He's done none of that.
This don't even hit the same like it did in 2019.
He's done none of that.
We had a guy message us when we first played that. His dad had just gotten out of a coma, and he played it for him.
Yeah. Because it was so inspiring.
It was motivating at first.
Yeah.
Now it just doesn't hit like that.
Yeah.
Damn.
The most important one is the why. All right.
All right. Shout out to everyone on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's a new radio.com app. If you had the radio.com app, have no fear. Your app has automatically updated to Odyssey. It's going to be a little more colorful. AUDACY. It's the Odyssey app. Spread the word. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that if Sam Ehlinger is around in the third round, that he could be a potential steal, and we could let him sit for a year and then just roll with him.
There you go.
Longhorn Nation, we're back.
You know how I feel about Sam. I think you're kind of high if you think you can take him in the third round, and that's going to be a steal. Mm. I don't even know if Sam gets drafted, quite honestly.
Well,
Texans Nation, we're back.
We're back.
I don't know. I love Sam. Love Sam. But did you know he was a Longhorn fan growing up, by the way?
He was. Yeah. I'd heard that. I think on a TV broadcast.
Did you know
I wonder if there are any pictures.
Did you know Jordan Shipley and Colt McCoy were roommates?
Yeah. You know, Colt McCoy has parents that always sit in the stands and are on TV.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Go. I want to do a. I just want to do a freestyle country song about how OB messed up the Texans. I don't talk like this. Actually, I was just doing a voice.
Do it.
I hate country music anyway. Okay, it started in 2017. OB made decisions that didn't really seem that smart at the time. Now looking back, that's fine. The very next year, he did the same damn shit. Traded away JD for a third round pick. What's going on? He's tearing apart the team that's wrong.
All right.
Well,
it cost, but.
Yeah, man, can't have that.
I do feel like that was a legit. That was a legit freestyle, though.
Yeah.
I think.
Was it?
I hope so. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think Bill O'Brien owes all Texans fans a sincere apology because of, you know, all the bad stuff he did. And I think since it's baseball season, me and McClain need to grab our gloves, play catch, and have a beer.
I want to see McClain try to play catch.
He used to hoop.
You said that before, man. I don't believe that.
He used to hoop.
I don't think so.
It's been a while. Yeah, been a minute.
I don't think so.
He did. He used to hoop.
I don't think so.
You're serious?
Old set shot.
At what point does used to expire? Like,
and define hooping. Like, is he going up and down the court or just shooting the basketball from one spot?
That's hooping. You have to play full court.
I always agree with that. At one point, many moons ago, McClain played basketball.
All right, so not hooped. Played basketball.
Whatever. Okay.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the dude that was just singing needs the lips slapped off his face.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think cheating in baseball is wrong and unforgivable, said Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco.
Is he talking about the A's fans booing?
Oh, it must be. Yeah.
It's the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, I was wondering why those seemed kind of random.
Kind of seems like a straw man to me, but
it
is a popular notion. You're on the think tank. Go.
Yeah, I think that freestyle dude was on that Good Friday Dodo.
I think so, too.
Could have been.
He was on it. There's nothing wrong with that, though. God knows I'm about to get green. God, I'm ready. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think Deshaun Watson has to get a vasectomy.
Okay. That guy was practicing.
Was he practicing or did he think he was on?
I think he was practicing.
It could have been.
Which, good. Practice makes good. Perfect. Yeah. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think the Texans need to have a deal worked out where they have a team draft all the players that they want and then finish the trade for Deshaun Watson after that dead cap hit can be reduced.
I wondered about that.
It might.
I did wonder.
NBA
know,
does that a lot.
Like if you talk to the Dolphins and you say, hey, we're going to make this deal eventually. You know that. I know that. So these are the picks we're going to give you. We're going to draft those guys for you, and then we're going to trade them to you.
Yeah. It happens. It doesn't happen a lot in the NFL, but it has happened. Why go through all those hoops? Why don't you just make the deal and make the trade yourself and make the pick?
I wouldn't even trust that.
Right, exactly.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Jack Easterby can cure that girl's wholeness.
He's talking about Drea. Let's pull up Drea. Here's what he's talking about if you're just tuning in. Drea Michelle. Linked to Tyrod Taylor, by the way, the backup quarterback of Houston Texans. She had this to say on the Breakfast Club 7 years ago.
I think that a hoe is somebody who sleeps with everyone. I don't think I'm considered a hoe no more. I don't really got nobody in the last like two or three years.
She said no more.
Don't say no.
No,
more.
Your hoeness can get deleted.
Janet,
he believes that Jack Easterby can cure hoeness.
I guess he could think he thinks he does.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Branham is big timing. It's a travesty we haven't heard from the voice of the Cougars one day before the big game.
The Golden Pipes, yeah.
I point to Robert Arthur's article.
That was a low point in Jeremy's career, by the way. He's talking about Robert Arthur like he was Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
According to Robert Arthur of Baseball Prospectus.
That was such a bad moment for Jeremy. You know what?
Robert Arthur.
That was about a year ago. He deserved this Final Four after that.
Yeah.
That was a bad moment. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson is Ed Reed Jr. Oh, I love Houston. Oh, I love the culture. Oh, pay me, and now I don't want to do nothing.
Wow, Deshaun Ed Reed
Ed
Jr.?
Ed Reed?
Not even Ed Reed Jr. Mm-hmm. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Paul Gallant's breath smells like halitosis.
Why can't people trust me on this?
Man.
That's enough of that. That's Think Tank here on Sports Radio 610. Here was what Cal McNair said 2 years ago when Jack Easterby was brought in.
Well, we're really lucky to have Jack with us. He is Executive Vice President of Team Development, so his role is to do whatever it takes to make the organization grow and operate at its absolute peak performance.
Okay, if we're just judging performance, Jack Easterby has been a disaster in the 2 years he's been here. You just lay out what it was 2 years ago to now. But what about the role? Because the role appears to have changed. It's very vague there from Cal McNair. Let's see if Nick Caserio on the Albert Breer Show can give us a little more of an advanced description of what Jack Easterby does right now.
Yeah, the other thing that's sort of a big topic of conversation down there is the role of Jack Easterby. You and Jack obviously go way back. You know him really well. Can you give me an idea of like how his role flows into your role and kind of how Jack's role has evolved now, maybe that you're in the building as the guy who's in charge of football operations?
I've known Jack a long time, probably longer than anybody in the building here in Houston. I think Jack is very gifted. He's got a lot of great qualities. I can't really speak about what has happened in the past relative to his role, the way that we're set up organizationally, that the way the McNairs have granted me the responsibility is to oversee all football decisions as it pertains to the roster. And that's in working in conjunction with Coach Cully and his staff. Some pretty good players through the years, you know, whether it's Matthew Slater, Tom Brady, you know, James White, David Andrews, the list goes on and on. I mean, Jack's impact in our team and in the building was pretty significant. I think you'd find to a man that how they feel about him. Jack's an important part of what we're doing. And I think, you know, we should all be grateful that, that he's here and he's got plenty of responsibility that he's been given. But as it pertains to football decision-making, football roster building and those types of things, that's the reason that I was brought in. And that's my responsibility. And Jack has his role, just like a lot of other people do within the football department.
So I'm wondering if you can kind of like, cause I've heard from New England what sort of resource he was to the guys there, whether it's players, coaches, Bill, like, can you give me a good example of maybe how, what sort of resource he was to you guys in New England that maybe illustrates why you wanted to work with him again?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's not about specific responsibilities or roles, whatever it is. I think Jack, he has gifts, leadership qualities that he's been given. And, you know, I think Jack's mentality and mindset has always been to serve. And the mindset and mentality has been the same here, or will be the same here in Houston as well. The head coach has certain things that he handles and he needs assistance, whether it's in operations, whether it's logistics, whether it's just the overall operation of the building within departments. So one person can't do it. I can't do it. David Culley can't do it. Jack can't do it. So Jack has a role. It's an important role of the organization. So again, it's not about one particular thing or something tangible. I think it's more about, I mean, I have a lot of respect and admiration for Jack, who he is as a human being and the type of person that he is. So I think that that carries a lot of weight.
So he's asked about Jack Easterby's role, right? And I actually wrote down what he said about it. What does Jack Easterby do? Well, he's gifted. And he talked about great qualities. It's important. Plenty of responsibilities. Leadership qualities. He serves. It's not something tangible. What the heck, man? Is it that hard to say what he does? Well, it's not something tangible. It's important.
What if he does a lot?
He's got great quality. Well, he does. We know that. We know he does a lot. Absolutely, we know that already. And he's got his hands on a lot of things, including people's jobs. But what does he do? What is his job description? He goes to the office. He punches the clock. What does he do?
I care about what he doesn't do. And as long as it's not personnel, he can do whatever he wants. He could literally do anything he wants in that building, as long as he's not drafting players and signing players.
But he's going to be involved, and Caserio pretty much, you know, confirmed
that.
He
can do whatever he wants. He can sit there and do whatever he wants and make himself feel however he wants. As long as he's not in charge of personnel, I do not care, do not mind.
I care a little bit because he's still affected in a two-year span. He's still affected this team negatively in just about every way. Public perception negatively.
But the most important one roster, is in personnel, right?
Public perception negatively, roster negatively, business operations negatively, because we know that he was a factor in Jamie Root's departure. Morale negatively, as was evidenced in the Sports Illustrated article. You say he doesn't do anything tangible. You say he's got great qualities, that he's gifted. Everything he's touched has turned the wrong way. Has gone the wrong way. This team is not better because of Jack Easterby. It's worse in every way, largely because of Jack Easterby.
There's really no debating that. You just gotta hope. At least I gotta hope that maybe the role that Bill Belichick saw, that Nick Caserio saw, maybe hopefully it's closer to that than what it was with King Bill. Because we know for damn sure that you can connect the downfall of the previous era of Houston Texans football to the arrival of Jack Easterby 2 years ago. So hopefully whatever the hell he was doing those 2 years, hopefully at least changed.
Yeah.
I know we're never going to get a concrete title as to what he does, but hopefully because of what has happened the last 2 years since he's arrived, hopefully whatever he was doing before has changed.
I don't see how that's possible. Just given what, how his role has expanded from, when Cal introduced him, basically, and talked about him, to ousting everybody, you know, except for himself. It's just continued to expand. I don't see how he can take a step back. I don't think he's capable of taking a step back.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, the most ridiculous rumor that I've heard all offseason involving the Houston Texans. Why in the hell would this happen? Someone's got some explaining to do.
It's interesting.
Round the league next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.